Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. Thank you for tuning in, and I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get a notepad, get a pen, if you're able, and let's study the Word of God. I always tell you to study along with me because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, try the Spirit to see whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. I'm aware that there's a lot of teaching in the body of Christ, and according to the Scriptures, a lot of it is wrong. And the only way you're going to know whether it's right or wrong is to try every spirit. The Bible says you're supposed to try everyone that's preaching and teaching the Word. Amen. And it's not an insult to do that. Acts 17, verse 11, they tried Paul, and the Bible called those people honorable and noble for doing it. So God will call you noble, testing the ministers who's preaching the Word of God. You're supposed to test your church. You're supposed to test your leader. You're supposed to test your denomination. You're supposed to test and try every spirit. That's what the Bible say. Why? The destiny of your soul is in your hand and your choice. You are not ever supposed to be so loyal to people or men and leaders that you don't test what they say by the Word of God. The Bible says you have received an unction, 1 John 2:27, which is the Holy Ghost who live within you, and you're supposed to test every message. I'm encouraging you to check this message out. Go check all the Scriptures out that I'm teaching and preaching. You're supposed to test me. You're supposed to test every leader. That is your responsibility. There's a lot of Christians who are dependent on their leaders, dependent on their denomination and their churches, and you may like your leader. You may even love your leader and love your church, and you should, but you are not supposed to love them so much that you don't test everything they teach you. The Bible tell you to do that, and I want to encourage you as often as I can to try every spirit and see whether they be of God. Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's a lot of doctrines being taught, and as I search the Scriptures, I know they're coming from the pit of hell. It's a strategy of Satan. Admired men and women may be teaching these lessons, but these lessons are inspired by demons, and they're being taught by men. So I'm asking you, if you're concerned about your soul and you want to make it in when you stop breathing, test every spirit. Go check everything out you're hearing. This hyper grace that's being taught today come from the pit of hell. Amen. And I just got to say it like it is. Glory to God. There is no such thing as the grace of God covering you while you're sinning. No, that's not in the Bible. The Bible said in Jude that we ought to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Glory to God. And the Bible said that there would be men creeping to church in the last days, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These messages that's telling you don't have to repent for sin anymore, and that you don't even have to think about your sin. These messages that's teaching and telling the saints that you can't sin your salvation away, that grace got you covered, you can't lose your salvation. These messages did not come from heaven. These messages came from the strategy of the enemy. And I'm challenging you in love to go search these Scriptures, and let's stick with this Bible. This hyper cross message that's being taught all around the world, and even the Expositor's Bible that's going out all over the world, check it out. Glory to God. Test it by the Spirit. And amen, nobody should get offended at me telling you to test it, because the Bible says to test it. 1 John 4 verse 1, I quote it again. Try every spirit, see whether they be of God. That's why I'm teaching and preaching it. And again, if you get upset with me, you'd have to get upset at the Scripture, because the Scripture say, try every spirit, see whether they be of God. I'm encouraging you to try this message that I'm preaching. Test every spirit, glory to God, because your soul hang in the balance. Praise God. This hyper cross message that said just believe in what he did is the biggest lie that could ever be sold to the church. This message that's going around the church that's saying that you can't live without sinning, no such thing as sinless perfection, these messages came out of the flesh of people. They did not come from God. These messages come as a result of a person not finding victory in their own life, and now they're trying to teach you that there's no such thing as sinless perfection. Sinless perfection simply means living a consistent, holy life without sinning. The Bible said we are able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1 down to verse 3. Now, if we can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, why would we let a message tell us we can't? The Bible said we can live holy every single day. I want you to look at Luke chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 70. Go down to probably verse 74. Glory to God. It simply says that we can live a holy and righteous life all the days of our life. Amen. Glory to God. What Jesus did for us at Calvary assures that we can live a righteous life. But if you believe the doctrines of men and the lies that are coming forth in this last hour, then you could stand the chance of losing your soul in the end. And I don't want you to lose your soul. That's why I'm contending for the faith. Philippians chapter 1, Paul said, you are partakers of my grace. The grace that was upon the apostle Paul is he was set in the body for the defense of the gospel. First chapter, Jude chapter 1 says that we are contenders for the faith. Do you not know that true preachers and true Christians are defenders of the faith and contenders for the faith? So what I'm doing today is contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What I'm doing today is defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are giving voice to the word of God and saying, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. John 5:39. Glory to God. Amen. I know I'm excited, but I'm excited about defending the faith. We've been teaching a message entitled Understanding the Born Again Experience and the Saving of the Soul. This is going to be part 4. Check out everything that I say by the scriptures and by the Holy Ghost. We only going to stick with the scriptures. Now, on my last lesson, I said to you, and I'll say again, that the born again experience is not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to make it into the literal kingdom after this life is over. But instead, the born again experience is an opportunity to make it. And the reason I share that is because if you go back and listen to part 1, part 2, and part 3, I proved to you that the spirit in the man is not the man. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the psalmist said, he lighteth my candle. So in St. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, when Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus meant exactly what he said. Born again enable you to see, perceive, and to know. Jesus did not say that born again is the guarantee to make it into the literal kingdom. As he continued to talk in chapter 3, he did talk in the next few verses about entering the kingdom, but he said that you have to be born of the water and of the spirit. And I believe, according to the scripture, that he was not necessarily talking about literal water, but I believe he was talking about a natural birth and a spiritual birth that needs to take place in the soul. Because we know that when a person accepts Jesus Christ, the spirit is instantly born again, but the soul is in a process of being born again. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible likened the word unto water. It says, by the washing of the water by the word. So in order for the soul to be born again, the soul, after the new birth, have to walk in the spirit all the way to the end of your faith, according to 1 Peter 1, 9. And the Bible said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now, to show you that this is not my message, but it is the Bible's message, I always give you confirming scripture and let the scripture teach the lesson. And I give you these pretty much on several of our teachings and several of our lessons, because you may be listening in now and didn't hear the first three parts. But a confirming verse is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. The Bible says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe all the way to the saving of the soul. Amen. Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, we are saved by hope. Glory to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is he talking about? The blessed hope. The return of Jesus Christ, when he return, and or either at the end of our faith, we'll receive the salvation of our soul. The soul is not finished yet. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5 that the soul inside of the regeneration, which is a birth, was washed and sanctified. So the soul is not born. The soul is not divine. The soul is still natural. And the soul won't be divine until the end of your faith. So you have to walk in obedience to the word. That's what the Bible means in Philippians 2 verse 12 when it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the key to working out your salvation with fear and trembling is walking in obedience to the word of God. Anyone that tell you that you can be born again and make it into heaven and doing nothing, they are not teaching the whole gospel. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father. You see, you have to do the will of my Father. The will of the Father is the word of the Father. You can't separate the two. You can't just say you believe, but you don't do it and make it in. Another verse, Luke 6 verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? The things that Jesus say and the things that the apostles said is the things that we need to do after the born again experience if we expect to make it into the kingdom of God. Amen. And I know many people teach that we don't do nothing. We just believe and that's all we do. No, the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teach that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Read Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 16, go on, and it'll verify that. This is the teaching of the scriptures. The scriptures should take preeminence over all the false doctrines in the body of Christ. The doctrine of grace revolution didn't come from God. The doctrine of the cross and the blood, believing in the cross and the blood, didn't come from God. You can believe in the cross and the blood and you can believe in the grace all you want to, but if you don't do the scriptures, you can't make it into the literal kingdom. You have to believe in the cross. You have to believe in the blood. You have to receive God's grace and you have to walk in the scriptures for the rest of your life if you expect to make it into heaven. That's what the Bible says. James 1, starting at verse 21, now to verse 25, the Bible said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There is no way possible you can make it into the literal kingdom after this life is over if you die having disobeyed the word of God throughout your lifetime. You have to die in righteousness to make it into the kingdom. You can't die in sin and make it in. People don't understand the born-again experience. The born-again experience caused the light to come on. The born-again experience is your spirit that has come alive. But the spirit in you is not you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And I quote these scriptures a lot because you need to meditate on these scriptures till you get this into your heart so you can understand God's true plan of salvation. The Bible said, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in the man? God's telling you there's a spirit in the man that's not the man. The man himself is a soul. According to Genesis 2 verse 7 and according to 1 Corinthians 15:45, man is a soul. And the Bible said a soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the soul in the born again experience has been washed and sanctified. Now you got to walk in that sanctified life all the way to the end of your faith to receive the salvation of your soul. Now the soul is the person. And I know we've been taught that I'm a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. But you don't just have a soul. You are a soul. The Bible teaches that you're a soul and you possess a spirit living in a body. That's the way the Bible teaches it. But the popular teaching in the body of Christ is I'm a spirit, which deceives people to think that the spirit that's in us is us. But it's not true. The Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, all the way down to verse 7, you see a soul going into eternal darkness. The Bible said, when this man die, he goes to his long home. Then you see the spirit returning back to God who gave it. Then you see the body going back to the dirt. That's a perfect picture if you lose your soul, that God would take the spirit out of the soul and it'll return back to God, but the soul will end up in hell. So don't be deceived that the person is a soul. We need to understand salvation. Salvation started when we got born again, but the only thing that was born again was your spirit. Now that your spirit is born again, it contains contains the mind of God. It is one with God. It is perfect. Now, the Bible tell us, be ye perfect, for he's perfect. So he's telling you, soul, be like the Spirit. Soul, walk in the Spirit. Soul, you need to be obedient to the Spirit of God if you want to return back to God. So we need to understand the born again experience and the saving of the soul. All of this is one great plan of redemption. It's implemented in three different areas, three different ways: the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit has been born again. The soul is being born again. It's an ongoing process called sanctification. And the body will be delivered at the last trump. We'll get a glorified body. That is the full picture of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 show a picture of salvation. We've been delivered, we're being delivered, and we shall be delivered. This is the truth about salvation that is not really taught and made plain. And because it's not made plain, many people are deceived as far as salvation is concerned. And many born-again people are going to lose their souls in the end because they're thinking simply because you're born again, you're going to make it. But the Bible don't teach that. That's why a lot of people are going to come to Jesus and he's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Then the Bible said they're going to cry out and call him Lord. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? You know why they was able to prophesy? You know why they was able to cast out devils and do many marvelous things in his name? Because they were born again. They were people that was brought into the kingdom while he on the earth, or should I say the kingdom came to live in him, but they never became one with the kingdom. If your soul don't become one with the kingdom, Jesus can look at you and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So I want you to take and search these scriptures and understand the truth about the born again experience and the saving of the soul. God is trying to save your soul. Now, that is why you're born again. So the born again experience is not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to make it into the literal kingdom. The born again experience is an opportunity to make it into the literal kingdom. Glory to God. You have to obey the word. You have to live in righteousness. You have to walk in the Spirit. The Bible said, if you live in the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, I want to give you some other verses to verify everything that I'm saying, because the Bible says that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So I can't give you my doctrine, or I can't give you my private interpretation of the word. I have to give you the word line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm only teaching the scriptures. So someone would have to argue with the scriptures to argue with this message, because I'm only letting the scriptures teach the message, and I'm saying only what the scriptures say. Glory to God. So I'm going to give you more scripture to prove that after you've been born again, you got to walk in obedience to the word of God. That's why the Bible said, Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Working it out means obeying the scriptures. You have to do the scriptures. You can't look into the perfect law of liberty and then go a different direction. You have to obey the scriptures. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James chapter 1, verse 21 down to verse 25. Glory to God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 and verse 27. Glory to God. The Bible teaches us that Paul got people saved and then turned around and say, I want to be partaker of salvation. Then he turned around in the last verse in verse 27 and say that I keep under my body, at least when I've preached to others, I myself become a castaway. We know Paul was saved. Paul said, I can lose my salvation. I can be a castaway if I don't do it right. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says that the gospel which I preached unto you, which you believed and you received, wherein you stand, wherein you are saved, if you keep in memory, at least you have believed in vain. The Bible trying to tell you there is that you can believe, you can be saved, and then you can be saved in vain. That's what the word of God trying to teach us. Go to Colossians 1, verse 21 through 23. It says that you have to stay in the faith so that you can be presented faultless. If you get out of the faith, you can lose out with God. Bible said he give unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. But if you back up to John 10 verse 27, the scripture is clear. They follow me. If you don't follow Jesus after you've been born again, there is no guarantee just because you're born again, you're going to make it into the kingdom. Keep in mind, Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 21, the Bible said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. The will of my Father is the words of the Father. Glory to God. So you have to do the word of the Father to literally make it into the kingdom. Glory to God. That's the Bible, and I'm only teaching the Bible. So I want to encourage you to look at these scriptures closely and don't be deceived in this hour by a believing only gospel. The Bible says in Romans 4 verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So many people go off teaching that all you do is believe, but that's not true, because if you read James chapter 2, the Bible said Abraham obeyed God. Then the scripture was fulfilled that said he believed God. So the scripture is trying to tell you that Romans verse 4 and verse 3 don't stand alone. It don't stand by itself. Amen. You have to cause everything to match up in the scripture. The scripture have to interpret the scripture. So you have to walk in the word of God all the way to the end of your faith. And you have to make everything in the Bible match. You can't just take one scripture and build a doctrine. Everything has to match. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10. A lot of people preach that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And that is the truth. But that's just the first part of that scripture. If you keep reading that scripture, that Bible says that we have become God's workmanship, created unto good works. And then Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, the scripture is clear. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, which means you got to have some good works after you've been born again. You didn't work to get it, but you show better work if you want to keep it. Glory to God. Because the Bible says at the end of our lives, when we die, in the book of Revelation, it says our works shall follow us. In Romans chapter 2, the Bible said there is no respect of person, and we all will be judged by our works. People teach that God don't look at us. He don't look at our sins. He look at us through the blood. That's not true. And if that's true, how did he see the sins of all those six churches that he rebuked in the book of Revelation? It was only one church that he encouraged, but all the other churches had something that they was doing that he didn't like. And he said, I have something against you. It was sin. And when you read the epistles, he's rebuking most of the saints for their sin. So that doctrine that say he don't look at our sins because we're covered by the blood is a lie. He see your sins, and he want to see you repent of your sins and live these scriptures. Hallelujah. You have to live the book. You have to walk in the scriptures. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 16 through 20, I've quoted this before and I'll quote it again. The Bible said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus himself said that. Now, how can someone come back and say Jesus is incorrect? How could someone come back and teach something other than what Jesus said? Jesus said your righteousness is going to have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So our righteousness is going to have to rise above some of the teachings that we hear in this day and this time. I am teaching this because I'm a contender and a defender of the faith. And I want to see the saints make it in. When you born again, you have the power now to live above sin. You have the power to live without sin. You have the power to live in righteousness and true holiness all the days of your life. The Bible says in the book of Luke, it says that, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It says we can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Why don't that include sin? I want you to know, yes, it does include sin. You can live without sin in your life. And any preacher constantly telling you that there's no such thing as sinless perfection, that preacher is telling you he's got sin in his life. And I'm telling you, Jesus did not send one preacher to tell the body of Christ that you can't live without sinning. And there's no such thing as sinless perfection. Jesus died that you may be free from sin and that you may live a righteous life. Why do I hammer on this so much? Because I'm trying to snatch some of the people of God out of the fire hating even the garment stained by sin and stained by the flesh. I want you to make it in. The Bible says in Revelation 22:11, it says, when he come, let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. When he come, however he find you is how you will stay. So I'm trying to tell you how to be ready when Jesus come. Give you a confirming verse. If you go read 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, go all the way down to verse 14. It tell you how you have to be found when Jesus come to receive you. You're going to have to be blameless and you're going to have to be spot free. Glory to God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says he died that he might purchase a church without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing. That seemed like Jesus don't want no sin in your life. That seemed like you can live without sin. And glory to God. I'm going to give you some other verses that will agree with the sin-free living. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. That's in the Bible because you can stop sinning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 is clear. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame. The reason the Bible says sin not is simply because you can stop sinning. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. You can stop sinning. Amen. And the reason I stay on this is because I want you to believe the truth about what Jesus Christ really did through the cross and what Jesus Christ really did through his blood and through his true grace. Glory to God. You can be free and you can walk just like Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 will confirm that. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 29, that Jesus was the first of many brethren. Jesus wants some more brethren that's going to live their lives just like he lived his life. That's why he became our example. He did not become our example so we could be a bad example. He became our example so we can rise in this last hour and prove that the standard of God is the word of God. And you can live the word of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Glory to God. You can walk in the spirit and you can live a life that is free from the things of this world. You can be victorious in your life. I'm going to give you some more scriptures as we get ready to come to a close today. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. These are people who was once walking with God, but they lost out with God. These are false teachers that was once doing it right. That show you that just because you're born again don't mean that's an automatic guarantee that you're going to make it in the kingdom. Born again is not necessarily a guarantee to make it in the kingdom. Born again is the greatest opportunity we have to make it into the kingdom. If you're born again and you walk according to the scriptures, you will make heaven your home. But if you're born again and you're walking in sin and in disobedience to the scripture, there's nowhere in this Bible where the scripture agreed that God will let you into the literal kingdom when you die. And I'm preaching it because the Bible said, how can they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? I am preaching the eternal word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, because I want you to know that when Jesus come back, he coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing. He is not coming back at a crippled church. He is not coming back at a church that's claiming to have the grace of God and got sin in their life. He is not coming back for a church that claim they believe in the cross and believe in the blood, but don't believe they can stop sinning. No, he's coming back for a church that's victorious over sin. The Bible said, unto him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. God is calling a holy church in this hour. God is calling a church to be the church that he purchased. Amen. God is calling a church out of the church. Hallelujah. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching. You can go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. This is Apostle Lewis saying we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.